To tell you the truth, I've about had it with everybody claiming that the other person's a heretic and preaching a different gospel. What exactly is a different gospel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I am quadruply excited today to be on the air with you. First, I am broadcasting from the wonderful studios of WAVA in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of D.C. I'll be here this entire week broadcasting from the studio, so I'm excited about doing that. Secondly, for all my friends listening on WAVA, I will be ministering in Maryland, God willing, this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'll tell you more about that, some special events coming up that you can participate in. Third, I've got a big announcement, another big announcement. Seriously, I'm about to make to you that I think you'll be blessed and excited to hear. And fourth, now don't panic, but I may have found a new career, a new broadcasting career over the weekend. Yeah, so I'll tell you about that in a, no, I'm not going anywhere, but I'll tell you the exciting news in a minute. That's not the big announcement. It's just a fun thing that happened over the weekend. But we've got a bunch of really serious things to talk about today. And I can't tell you how many posts, links were sent to me via Facebook, via our website, via Twitter, you name it. In fact, I came up with a saying the other day, you know, death by a thousand cuts. Well, the new version is death by a thousand tweets. And anyway, I've gotten flooded with, do you know about this ministry? What do you say about this ministry? Look at this video. I can't tell you how many I've got. Now the new thing, I'm getting these open letters sent from this group and that group. And what about this one? How come you won't denounce this one? And they're coming from each side. In other words, if I denounce A, then B says, how come you didn't denounce B? And then B says, how come you denounced A? And it goes back and forth and all around. And basically, either nobody is saved or everybody is saved. I mean, the amount of confusion is amazing. So I want to really talk through a serious issue with you today, namely, what is a different gospel? Who's saved and who's not saved? And what are we actually supposed to judge? Listen, there was a time when I thought I was God's policeman. Many years ago when I was younger in the Lord, I thought I was God's policeman, and my role was to set everybody straight in the entire church and correct all the errors that were out there. It didn't take long for God to deal with me about that. I love the truth, and I have lost a lot of things over the years for standing for the truth, and I will not compromise a conviction no matter what. That being said, there are right and wrong ways to approach things, and the current name-calling, divisive trends on all sides of the debate are destructive, not constructive. So we'll talk about that today, and I'd love to hear from you. What are we supposed to judge, and what are we not supposed to judge? When is it right to say this is heresy? What constitutes heresy? What is a different gospel? 866-348-7884 to weigh in. That's 866-34-TRUTH. To read my latest article on the subject, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. Maybe during the break you'll be able to read it. But okay, over the weekend, we got to see my grandson, Connor. We've got four grandkids, two girls, two boys. Nancy and I came up to see our grandson, Connor, play football. Now, at the same time he was playing football, our other grandson, Andrew, who just turned 10, faced nine batters and struck out all nine. Connor did well in his football game, but they were overmatched against another team. They lost 31-0, but they played hard. But here's the deal. The game actually has a broadcaster. There's someone after each play. You can't call during the plays because it would distract the kids. But after each play, you say, tackle by so-and-so, so-and-so running. So our daughter Jen lives here in Maryland, said, hey, Dad, you know, it's just by rotation. I said, you mean I go up and do it? So I called. Yes, yes. I know I didn't push Brent Musburger out of his place yet, I don't think quite yet the new John Madden, but yeah, I called the second half of the football game. Oh, do we have it recorded? No, I'm so sorry. But it was, trust me, it was amazing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, that's from Shylin, the rapper. And when is it right to be labeling other brothers and sisters false teachers? Oh, yeah, I'm on this subject in light of the division sweeping over certain issues recently, in light of the controversies over the Strange Fire Conference. I'm all for dealing with error. I'm all for constantly pointing us to the truth and help us to major on the majors and swim in the center of the stream. At the same time, I'm very slow to call someone a false teacher unless I know that they are not saved and are introducing damnable heresies, because that's the biblical definition. I'm very slow to call someone a false prophet. You say, yeah, but so-and-so said there's going to be an earthquake in Virginia on such and such a date, and it didn't happen. Well, they may have prophesied falsely. If that's true, then they prophesied falsely. But a false prophet, according to Jesus, is a ravening or ravenous wolf in sheep's clothing. That's a false prophet. Not someone who prophesies falsely alone, but someone who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. In the same way, a different gospel, according to the scriptures, a different gospel is a gospel that does not save. It is not a gospel with some non-essential additions. It is not a gospel with some confusion. It is a gospel that does not save, and by believing it, you go to hell. That's why Paul put a curse on anyone who would preach that in Galatians 1, 866-348-7884. First, the big announcement I want to make that I'm so excited to make. If you heard the shows the end of last week, I gave the news that I'm now writing a book by God's grace, looking to finish it in a 2 or 3 week period of time with contributions with other scholars like Dr. Craig Keener as well. And I'm writing a book called Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. Authentic Fire, and the subtitle, tentative subtitle, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. In order to get it out quickly, and in conjunction with his book coming out mid-November, as God just stirred my heart to do this, we were going to be releasing an ebook only. We are releasing an ebook, and I thought we could only release an ebook. Now, it's exciting to get the ebook out. Absolutely. We're excited to get the ebook out. And that'll be out, God willing, end of November, early December. We'll give you more details. But here's the big news. My publisher, Charisma Media, working with Excel Publishing, will be able to get out a print version as well. Can I repeat that? We will be getting out a print version as well of the Authentic Fire book. In fact, you can pre-order it today. I'll tell you how in a little while. And it'll get out in the same period of time. Can you believe it? Within 2 to 3 weeks of the manuscript getting to the publisher, they'll have it out in print version. So God willing, end of November, early December, we will have out Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, which I think will be a tremendously helpful book for many of you. 866-348-7884. It has been said that heaven, at one and the same time, will be a great eye opener and a great mouth closer. Can I repeat that? It has been said that heaven, at one and the same time, will be a great eye opener and a great mouth closer. Do you realize? You're going to be surprised, and I'm going to be surprised, to see some people make it into God's eternal kingdom. And some people are going to be surprised to see you there and surprised to see me there. We'll be like, oh, well, there's going to be a lot of shock. And could well be some people we expect to see there we won't, because they were charlatans. They were false brothers and sisters, but only God actually knew. Now, please understand this. We must stand for the truth at any cost or consequence. Brothers and sisters are being martyred around the world rather than deny the faith. But you know, in the early days of the Reformation, because so many of the leaders practiced paedobaptism, they practiced infant baptism, And the Anabaptists said, no, authentic baptism, according to Scripture, is believer baptism, as practiced by Baptists and Pentecostals and others today, whereas Presbyterians will practice infant baptism. Do you know that the Anabaptists were actually drowned by the other Christians killing Christians over baptism? You have you have no idea the amount of things that come into our ministry. We're not the world's biggest ministry by any stretch of the imagination, but we have a decent number of people we reach with God's help. We have a decent number of people we interact with through our radio show and through my articles and books and through social media and our TV show, etc. And you'll get people from every side. A charismatic saying to me, that person denies the Spirit for today, and they say it's of the devil, they're blaspheming the Spirit. And then someone else saying, no, it's the charismatics who are blaspheming the Spirit. And then I'll get someone emailing me about a colleague of mine or someone that I've known for many, many years and worked together with, and they'll say, that person is a false teacher. I had a Calvinist tell me the other day that Mike Bickle was a false teacher, and then I had someone else tell me that James White was not saved because he's a Calvinist. I had people get really upset with me because I would not condemn Joel Osteen to hell. Then I had someone else get upset with me because I took issue with his message and said it was lacking. Now, I'm not trying to please people. I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please God. And my role here is not to be the man that everyone calls in and says, do you like this ministry? Do you like that ministry? Do you like this guy? Do you like that guy? I assure you that there are people who don't like me. And if you call into their ministry or write to them, they'll say, no, Mike Brown's no good. And I can assure you that on every radio station where I am, you're going to have one ministry that says, well, speaks well of another ministry, and another that doesn't if you ask them. I'm not called to do that, nor am I going to fall into that trap. I will deal with issues. I will divide from people over issues if we cannot work together. If there's moral compromise, I will not work together. If there's doctrinal error, I will not work together. If we have other differences aside from fundamentals, then as much as we can work together, I want to, for the good of the body and for the glory of the name of Jesus. I'll tell you in a moment what happened my first trip to India, and I don't want to get into a little of this guilt by association stuff. 866-34-TRUTH. What is heresy? What is a different gospel? Where does one draw the line? I had someone tell me, if you believe that divine healing is in the atonement, that's a different gospel. That's not a different gospel. It's a different understanding of atonement. It's a different understanding of restoration. It's a different understanding of what is and is not available to us today as believers. But it's not a different gospel. A different gospel damns you by believing it. All right, to the phones. Art in Chicago, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I am a new listener, having never heard you had a radio program before a couple days ago. But I wanted to share a couple of things. One about Moody Bible Institute and how its attitude toward charismatics has changed greatly in the last couple of years. I have first heard about WMBI and Moody Radio in 1975. And all but 3 years of the last 38 years, I've lived within the signal of some Moody radio station. And 30, 40 years ago, they were so horribly anti-Pentecostal or charismatic, it was ridiculous. And the guy who was the primary teacher against this, of course, was John MacArthur. But in the last couple of years, I've noticed, and I'm now back in the Chicago area, WMBI is advertising for Teen Challenge. That never happened years ago. Back in 1976, a bunch of Assembly of God guys put a Channel 38 TV on the air in Chicago. And a bunch of Moody students who were a mile away from the Channel 38 Counseling Center volunteered to be phone counselors for Channel 38. And about, 10 minutes later, Moody's management found out that Moody students were volunteering for this Assembly of God-related TV station. And they said, if you volunteer to be a phone counselor for Channel 38, you have disenrolled as a student at Moody. So they cut that off. But recently, again, in the last 3 years, Moody's now advertising for Teen Challenge. They didn't do that.
Yeah, and Art, just to say this, only for time's sake, and I appreciate you listening to the broadcast. We're not yet on the Salem station in Chicago, but of course you can catch us online and through other means and podcast as well. But one of my dear friends, Michael Redelnik, is a professor at Moody Bible Institute. He himself does not believe that the gifts of the Spirit are normative for today, but certainly believes God heals as he wills, etc. Michael is co-leading my tour to Israel in May. And in fact, I've given a talk to the students in the Jewish Studies Department at Moody, and we'll gladly work together. He'd be welcome to speak at my school anytime. And obviously, in a setting like that, my message is not going to be why tongues is for today. We'll talk about things we agree on, but absolutely, I think on all sides, there's growth and recognition of how we need each other. Dear brother, thanks for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say once more, friends. If something is a different gospel, it is a non-saving gospel. It is not a gospel message and then some differences after the message. It is a non-saving message, and I will not call another message a different gospel unless it is so fundamentally flawed that it damns the person to hell that follows that message. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884 to weigh in. Michael Brown broadcasting live this entire week from the WAVA studios in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of D.C. All right, if you're anywhere in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, please join me Saturday. This is a special day with the Emmanuel Messianic Jewish Congregation led by Barry Rubin. They meet in Clarksville, Maryland. All the details are on my website. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and under About, click on Itinerary. I'll be speaking Saturday morning, their Shabbat service, and then doing a special seminar, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, on my book, The Real Kosher Jesus, and we'll have those books there available. If you'd like a signed copy, The Real Kosher Jesus Seminar, 1 to 3 Saturday afternoon. Please spread the word. It's going to be a special time. That's in Clarksville, Maryland. And then Sunday morning ministering at the Lifehouse Church in Laurel, Maryland. All right? Don't know what I'll be... Oh, no, I do. I'm speaking about pressing cultural social issues today. The church has actually asked me to do that, which is wonderful. Sunday morning, Laurel, Maryland. So please make it out to one of the meetings or another if you're one of our listeners in the greater Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. I would love to see you there. Again, all the info is on my website, AskDrBrown.org, and then just click under About, click on Itinerary. 866-34-TRUTH. Brian in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing very well.
I just have two quick questions. One would be, I was talking to somebody about, they call it easy believism.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, the one scripture where the thief on the cross, he just asks Christ to remember him when he goes into his kingdom and seems to indicate that he was saved. The other question is about Christian liberties, and I guess this kind of goes in with heresy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a musician myself. I have had some discussions with some other Christians where they say that it's offensive to them what I'm doing because they were doing drugs to this particular type of music, and when they hear anything that sounds like that, they feel sick to their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is... may seem a little immature issue, but this is something I enjoy. And you read in where Paul says, you know, I will do nothing to cause a stumbling block to my brother,
yep,
if it's eat or drink or anything. And then so where I go is where, well, what can you do? I mean, you could do anything to make somebody stumble. I don't know.
Right, right. Here's how we address that. First, as far as easy believism, that is a gospel that costs you nothing. In other words, following Jesus does not require repentance of sin. Following Jesus does not require submitting to him as Lord. Following Jesus means just asking him in to receive all the wonderful benefits, you know, eternal life and forgiveness of sins and no more guilt as opposed to in order to follow Jesus. It means submitting to him as Lord. That's not how you earn your salvation, but salvation is salvation from sin to obedience. The thief on the cross recognized his sin, recognized his guilt and how he deserved death, recognized who Jesus was and appealed for mercy. Well, that's the heart of the gospel. If that man had lived, I believe he would have lived as a genuine disciple of Jesus. So not everyone is going to have a chance to live things out, Brian. Not everyone's going to have a chance to walk out their discipleship or grow fully in the Lord. But if I recognize my guilt, recognize my need for salvation, look to Jesus as the only Savior from sin, and cry out to him so I can begin to lead a new life in him, then the proof of that conversion will be seen in the life that's lived after that. With regard to your question about music, this would be the issue. Obviously, someone could stumble because I have a mustache, and mustaches give them a bad memory of their father who had a mustache, right? Or someone who used to beat them when they were little wore glasses. So when I wear glasses, I'm insensitive. So obviously, we can't worry about every last thing. If I have a liberty that I can restrict for someone else's sake, then I'll do it. In other words, if I was hanging out with a particular believer and this person was so weak in their faith that they thought if they ate meat, they were gonna perish. If I had a meal with that person, I'd have a salad. You know, I'd have a salad for their sake, and I wouldn't worry about it. Now, would I never eat meat in private? What if someone else had an issue that if you were a vegetarian, they struggled? You know, so obviously you can only go so far with that. But this is the thing. I would not, if I knew someone struggled with certain music, right? And I understand it because rock music and the whole scene for me, you know, is the pathway to drugs and ungodliness. If I knew someone struggled with that and they were coming over to my home, well, you better believe I'm not going to have all these rock albums. I don't have them anyway, but I wouldn't have all these rock albums piled up, you know, and then I wouldn't have the music playing. I'd make sure that there's nothing on or something Christian that they could relate to or be edified by.
This is Christian music. They have a problem with.
Listen.
Because it sounds
Yeah. Look, what can you... All right, tell you what. Let me give this illustration, okay? But someone weighed in on my interview last week with Phil Johnson from John MacArthur's ministry. Got so many hits on our website. We had server download problems and stuff. And again, I appreciate Phil coming on to dialogue with me. Well, someone weighs in, and they instead of talking about the interview on a channel where it was posted, what they do is criticize the music because it has, you know, the music at the beginning of my show because it's worldly and sensual, and they've seen African kids start to move their bodies when they hear a certain beat. It's like, oh, lady, please, if that's your issue, great, God bless you. So you just can't worry about
that's
that.
Not causing them to stumble, then, right?
Right. Here's the deal. Then you can't go to certain churches because they have electric guitars, and or they have drums. I'll tell you this: I worship the Lord when I play drums. If I join in with the worship team, man, there's a unique aspect of worship that I can give and get caught up with. So you just can't worry about it. You honor, you're humble, but you have to honor the Lord as you can. And if someone stumbles over, say, "Hey, I'm not going to flaunt this in front of you, throw it in your face," but this is a valid expression I have before the Lord. Hey, Brian, I appreciate the call very much. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, remember, if you're listening on Wava FM, keep listening on Wava AM as the show continues right until 3. So my Authentic Fire book, response to John MacArthur, not only do we have an ebook coming out, God willing, within 5 or 6 weeks, but a print version as well. I think you'll find it to be absolutely essential in sorting out these issues. And we alone, our ministry, will have copies of this. You won't be able to get it anywhere else except through us. Just we found out we can have them printed for us. So $25 postage paid, a signed copy of Authentic Fire. Call right now to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way live from the WAVA studios in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. I'm here for the week. Be ministering this coming weekend in Maryland. And please keep praying for me as I'm spending a lot of hours joyfully working on the Authentic Fire book, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. It is not to win a debate. It is to point us to the truth about the Word of God and the power of the Spirit in a way that I trust will be helpful to those on all sides of the current debate. 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, let me share something that happened to me in India in 1993. Nancy and I were on the trip together, and I've been there now 20 times, 20 straight years, basically. I say basically because one year there was a terrorist attack right up when I was about to fly into Bombay. We had to cancel the trip, and I went twice another year. So 20 trips in 20 years. Trip number 21, God willing, coming in December. Well, we had gotten to know this Indian brother, Yesupadam. We had spent time together with him. We saw his passion for God, his passion for revival, his passion for the lost. He seemed to be an amazing man. He was an untouchable, and in terms of his background, he had been involved in violent terrorism as a Maoist communist called a Naxalite in India. Jesus appeared to him when he was a lost alcoholic man in his 20s. He got radically born again and started an amazing ministry there. Well, what happened was we took the invitation to go over. There was going to be a 3-week trip to India, and we fasted and prayed to get ready for the trip. I remember when we got a letter from him days before faxes or emails, and a letter came from India. Especially, they didn't have fax machines then in their ministry. And he was saying that the children in the orphanage, the children's home, are fasting once a week for God to really move and for real signs, wonders, and miracles when I come. I'm thinking, oh great, this is wonderful. You know, feeling the pressure of it. And we travel over 40 hours, and we're on our way this mountainous road, 5 hours up a mountainous road, dangerous mountainous road. In fact, the driver of our car, as we're going, a convoy of 3 cars, looked like they were out of the 40s or 50s. The guy stops, and he goes into this little shrine. It's a Hindu shrine, and he comes out with a red dot on his forehead. And we asked Yesupadam's daughter, the brother we work with, his daughter, we said, what's he doing? And she said, he's praying to one of these gods because it's a dangerous trip up the road. I said, listen, you tell him I'll take care of the prayer. Let him focus on driving. Well, yeah, great. Pray to a Hindu god before driving up this road. And I remember stopping on the side of the road. They had to stop a few times because the engines were overheating and there were monkeys in the trees. I mean, it was absolutely rural. We get to the meeting, and as we're driving up, we hear the music. That kind of Indian sound. And we look at each other and thought, oh, no. The guy we're working with is not really who we thought he was. He's, oh, no, this is like demonic stuff. This is like Hindu demonic music. I guess he's trying to use it to reach the Indians. And Nancy is the most discerning person I've ever met in my life. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I will talk to somebody, on the phone. I'll spend 2 hours face-to-face with someone and think, good guy, getting to know this person. I'll call Nancy and say, something's funny. She'll just know it. Something's funny. She's not judgmental. Just something's funny. And then when I look into it, find out, yeah, something is funny. Well, it turns out the music was great music. It was anointed music, and the worship leader was phenomenal. It's just Indian music. All we knew is it sounded Hindu to us because that was our association. We were completely wrong. We discern wrongly. Someone posted something on Facebook the other day and said, well, I discern that this is wrong. I said, well, I discern your discernment is wrong. Back with your calls.
Yeah. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So my big question today, when is heresy heresy? When is it just division within the body? Look, I had somebody post on my Facebook page the other day, if you believe that being slain in the spirit is from God, then that's heresy. Here, how do you like this one? Oh, here we go. This was posted on my Twitter account last night. Charismaticism is a cult of Satan. Any Christians are commanded to leave. Then beyond that, just seeing that your blog is Arminian, vile spawn of popery. Oh dear, another false gospel. So if I'm not a Calvinist, and if I speak in tongues, or I guess because it's both, and I'm doubly damned to hell. This is the type of error that is in the body, this small-minded error, this lack of ability to understand what the fundamentals of the gospel are. Oh, and let me tell you something. You want to accuse me of heresy because I believe what is clearly written in Scripture. Let's debate it. Let's debate it. Because if I'm willing to stake my life on a particular truth or doctrine, and there's certain things, hey, we can have our divisions and different. I'm not going to stake my life on certain end time things and how they're going to unfold, but fundamentals of the gospel, you better believe I will. But you want to damn me to hell for believing something different than you? Let us have a formal debate. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, go into the phones in one moment, but hey, here's some worship from Africa.
Glory be to the Lord in the highest.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Worship like that, man, I could get caught up with that. I could enjoy that. Others, that's just emotionalism. That's just like demonic with the drums. Careful. You know, some hymns that you love were written to the tunes of worldly songs years ago, but you don't know them as worldly songs. You just know them as wonderful hymns. You know, William Booth said, the devil doesn't own a single note. If he did, I'd take it back from him and use it for the glory of God. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Carmen in Frederick, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, Brother Michael Brown. I'm very glad to meet you on the radio. I normally don't have this time in the day to hear this program, so I know you now. But I'm very glad to hear you because you find very few Christian brothers today that are having this mindset that you have now, and certainly the Lord has worked with you through the years to come to this understanding that we need more to be united in order to understand the different denominations, the different ways of Christianity that we have to express each other and how we believe in God. I'm coming to the same level after 21 years, but I had the same understanding from the very beginning. I felt in my spirit that we need to be more tolerant to each other, you know, more flexible. Although I grew up from a Hispanic country, Puerto Rico. In Hispanic countries, mainly Christianity means to be a very extreme type of Pentecostal. Most of the Hispanic countries, they are like that, especially in Central America and the Caribbean, not much in the South. But we come from this background, and when you come to Pentecostalism here in the United States, it's the same background. They focus so much also on the outer appearance of the person, which we believe is wrong. I believe personally it's wrong, but that's one of the things. But in terms of denomination, different denominations, you see attacking each other just for so little differences that we should be more understanding to each other, understanding that we have different denominations, respecting each other's, you know. But still,
yeah, and again, Carmen, right, it has to be, what are the fundamentals, right? If someone has a certain form of worship, in one group they like to jump and shout. Another group, they're very quiet. One group likes to sing the hymns. Another likes to read the liturgy. Well, we don't divide over those things. We may be more at home in one environment than another, but we don't divide over it. What about if someone says, well, I believe everyone should speak in tongues, and someone else says, I don't believe tongues is real today. All right, we have our differences. We can study the scriptures and pray about that, but we don't divide over that as brothers and sisters. Now, there are things that we will divide over. In other words, if someone says that there's salvation through others outside of Jesus, Jesus is one of many ways. Or they say, well, you know, Jesus wasn't really the divine son. Or, well, you know, we can be saved by self-improvement and Jesus is just a good example. Or, you know, or he didn't rise from the dead. Or we don't have to turn from sin to follow him. Those are the fundamentals of the fundamentals. And if people deny those, they're not saved. Let's look at it like this. They're not even on the elevator. We may get off on different floors of the elevator, but be on the same elevator. But some people are not even on the elevator. And instead of saying, okay, hey, we have our differences. Let's figure out how we work together because we got a dying world out here. Let's figure out how we can help the poor and hurting in our city. Let's figure out how we can stand for righteousness and do something about the problem of abortion. You know, and hey, there's a missions project which we're trying to sponsor. What can we do to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world? Instead of that, we're spending so much time damning each other to hell. And again, let's deal with error. By all means, let's deal with error because error is dangerous and error is harmful. And one of the best ways to deal with error is to focus on the truth. In fact, tomorrow we'll talk about word of faith teaching or word of faith Christians. Are they true Christians with differences, with error, with good insight? Or are they not Christians at all? We'll talk about those things, and then we'll do our best to understand what are the fundamentals and what do people actually believe. Here, J.P. Moreland is one of the world's foremost Christian philosophers. He is a leading apologist philosopher, distinguished professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology at Biola University in California. And J.P. Moreland is a committed charismatic. J.P. Moreland believes in prophecy and healing and tongues, the gifts of the Spirit for today. And J.P. Moreland was involved in the Vineyard Movement. According to some Christian leaders, the Vineyard Movement was a heretical, false movement, and all charismatics are part of a cult of Satan. And then if you're associated with someone and work with someone who's like this, therefore you're guilty as well, which would mean that Talbot's School of Theology, by having J.P. Moreland as one of their distinguished faculty members, then they're guilty of supporting heresy, as is Biola University, because that's where Talbot's School of Theology is based. And it goes on and on. It's crazy. It's just crazy to do these things. And here, what makes you so sure you're so right about every last detail? See, I was like that when I was first saved. If you didn't hold to the exact pre-trib rapture doctrine, you were completely wrong about the end times. If you didn't hold to exactly the way my particular church taught things, you were wrong. You could be a fellow Pentecostal, and you were wrong. I remember I was at college, and I met another believer there. The first time I showed up, I found out there was a Christian fellowship meeting, and different ones would share. And this is right fresh on the heels of me memorizing 4,000 verses in about six months or so. And I mean, just the word on my lips and so on. So I went to this meeting. I went to this meeting with the Christian Fellowship. And there was a guy, really wasn't an experienced teacher at all, but everyone got to take a shot at teaching or sharing. So he shared something. Then they said, anyone have any comments? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, my thoughts are these. And I proceeded to quote, not in a boastful way, but just because it was natural for me. I don't know, 20, 30 verses just in a few seconds, you know, that I would... My thought was this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse, this verse. You know, just, and people were kind of blown away because I had so much scripture in me. It was just life, you know. So afterwards, I'm talking to a guy, finds out my background. He says, oh, yeah, you're Pentecostal, so am I. I'm with the Assemblies of God. And I said, oh, I think we agree on most things, but I think you have some funny doctrine somewhere. And he smiled at me like, what? I said, I don't know. I heard something about divorce or some funny doctrine you have. I'm not sure what it is. You see, my church alone had it right. My church alone had it right. We were not Assemblies of God. So there, I mean, talk about thinking I had it all. Now, it didn't mean I didn't consider him a brother. Didn't mean I didn't consider the others brothers, but boy, they were just not as enlightened as I was. Oh, I'm still very zealous and passionate about the truth, and I'm still zealous and passionate about doctrine. And I believe there's a lot of doctrine that's in the body today that is terribly dangerous and harmful. And by God's grace, I will do my best to expose it and deal with it. But let me make this clear. We, according to the New Testament, are to judge based on doctrine, fundamental doctrine, and based on conduct, not based on styles of worship, not based on outward expressions, not based on whether someone shakes or falls or doesn't shake or fall, not based on what version of the Bible they use, not based on their particular detailed scheme of the end times. When we start dividing over those things and we're still calling each other heretics and saying people aren't saved, you know who's laughing? The devil himself, because we're shooting each other.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. If you missed the announcement earlier, I was so excited to find this out Friday, but was not able to get to it on the air because I pre-recorded the Friday program. But we got word from the publisher that not only will we have an ebook out, God willing, in 5 to 6 weeks of my authentic fire book, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, but we will actually have a print book out. It will not be available in bookstores, online, anywhere else, only through our ministry because it's being exclusively printed on demand for us, but it'll come out the exact same time as the ebook. So if you'd like to order a signed copy of Authentic Fire, My Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, it's not a book about one-upsmanship. It's a book about pushing us all forward together in the truth of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. And I think you'll find it totally eye-opening. I'm having an absolute blast writing the book. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My joy to sign it as we send it out. You can order as many copies as you want, by the way, or you can order directly through our website. You'll see the special offer right on our homepage. All right, back to the phones to get on the air with me, 866-34-TRUTH. Dave in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, and thank you for your ministry and for standing up for truth. I had a question, actually two questions. The first one is that I was raised sort of in a cessationist Baptist background. I got saved in a Baptist church, wonderful experience, great doctrine. But then later on, through my walk, discovered through friends and other experiences that, gee, this cessation thing is not accurate. And then I said, well, I've got to measure this against Scripture, you know, being a good doctrinaire. So I did, and I can't find any reason to think that cessation could be true at all. And I've read, you know, up on, you know, Charismatic Chaos, and I read all these things from my denomination, but really was disappointed. So here's my first question is about, you know, if you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit and you are gifted in the Holy Spirit in ways that we would expect that are sign gifts, and you're in a church that denies that, in fact, vehemently so, almost breaking fellowship like as we've been discussing, mm-hmm. then how can you in good faith continue in that, knowing the truth, and sort of in the name of unity, feeling like you're being asked to squelch the truth? That's my
right.
First question.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is a little bit different, but if you want to check on that one, I've got a quick second one.
Yeah, give me the quick second one as well.
Okay, so the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. I've been a God's sovereignty guy forever. You know, it doesn't sound like you're a Calvinist, but I'm just about a four-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue that I have is perseverance of the saints. The one issue that I would break fellowship over historically has been salvation-related issues, salvific issues. And the perseverance of the saints, I do buy into, and that would be an issue that if my pastorate was against the perseverance of the saints, am I wrong in thinking that that would be a reason to break fellowship because you were talking about a salvation issue?
That's right, okay. No, you're to answer the second question first, perseverance of the saints, the idea that a truly saved person cannot lose their salvation but will persevere in holiness to the end, which is different than once saved, always saved, which says no matter how you live, once you're saved, you're still in. No, it's nothing to break fellowship over because we still believe in being saved the same way. And a Calvinist who believes in perseverance of the saints would say that the warnings are real and God uses the warnings to keep us on track. So absolutely, that is not something to divide over in any way whatsoever. It's not a matter of salvation because salvation is how we are saved, and God keeps, if you're right about perseverance of the saints, then God will keep all those that he truly saved. And the key thing is not to downplay the warnings. But as far as cessationism, yeah, with all respect to my friends who are cessationists and scholars who are cessationists, saying the gifts and power of the Spirit is normative in the New Testament and not normative today, I honestly see zero possible scriptural support for it, with all respect to those who differ with me on that. And if I was in a church that strongly was against the gifts and power of the Spirit for today, and I was strongly for it, then by all means, I would go somewhere else. I would not be a thorn in their side. I would not trouble them. I would not harass them. I would simply ask to be released with blessing over these differences, and I'd find a group that agreed on those things where I could serve and where I could grow in the Lord as well. Now, let me say this. It would be the exact same thing if you did not believe that tongues or healing or miracles was for today, and you were in a church that was strong on these things. It's best for you to go to be with those who agree with you on that. If that's your viewpoint, the goal is not to try to change the church where you are, unless you've been called to lead the church. The goal is to respect the leaders, and if you have a difference, you can humbly say, hey, I have these differences, would you consider them? If they say, no, these are our beliefs, then if you can't abide with that, if you can't fully support it and get behind it, it's best to go somewhere you can throw yourself in and recognize, hey, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, but to work together effectively, we need to be able to wholeheartedly throw ourselves in together. Hey, Dave, I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH. If you get in now, we can take your call in the next hour. Let's go to Art in Middletown, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I really enjoy your program, and I think you're doing very useful work in trying to get the body of Christ to come together and not split apart. I had a question, though, and that is that from time to time I encounter people who come around to our neighborhood and come from either the Mormon Church or the Church of the Watchtower and Jehovah's Witnesses, and try and convince me that what they're promoting is within my understanding of Christian faith. And I was just wondering if you have any thoughts about whether, I don't know their doctrines very well.
Yeah, they would be considered a cult. They would be considered false teachers, false prophets. In other words, Mormons claiming to have divine revelation to Joseph Smith, they do preach a different gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses denying the deity of Jesus and other fundamentals of salvation through faith in Jesus with assurance, they are preaching another gospel. Now, you might meet a saved Jehovah's Witness or a saved Mormon, but that's because they don't understand what their organizations teach, and they accidentally stumbled on the real gospel in the midst of it. But Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, those would be cults, false teaching, false prophets. And by the way, Matt, what's our day for Lynn Wilder? Is that next week? Yeah, next Tuesday, we're going to spend the entire day talking about Mormonism, and we'll have a special guest, Lynn Wilder, who was with the Mormon Church for many, many years in a leadership role as well, as much as she could be involved as a woman. And it'll be an eye-opener for you. Trust me, it will be an eye-opener. So without question, there are false teachers and there is false teaching. Question is where we draw the line. When there is the violation of the fundamentals, that is where we draw our absolute line. Remember, pre-order your copy of Authentic Fire, my response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. Signed, we'll send it out as soon as it's available, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, heretic is one who denies the fundamentals of the faith and is therefore hellbound, not a brother or sister with whom we have differences. To tell you the truth, I've about had it with everybody claiming that the other person's a heretic and preaching a different gospel. What exactly is a different gospel?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know, my dear brother and sister in Jesus, that there are people who do not believe that you are saved? There are people who do not believe that I am saved? And there are people whom we have damned to hell who are brothers and sisters, but we've damned them to hell just because of some of our own Christian narrowness and church background. Oh, we will separate truth from error today right here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Did you ever hear this account? John Wesley lived 1703-1791, and George Whitefield lived 1714-1770, two of the great leaders in the Methodist Awakening of the 1700s. George Whitefield, one of the great leaders in the Great Awakening here in America during that time frame. Wesley was Whitefield's senior, but Whitefield was truly born again before Wesley. They were both devoted to Christianity before finding out what it meant to be born again. And then they had a sharp division over the issue of Calvinism. George Whitefield, a committed Calvinist, John Wesley, a committed Arminian. They even had a separation for a time, and then they healed the wounds and reconciled, but their followers remained in different camps, and this one followed Whitefield, and this one followed Wesley. And there was real serious division over this. Now, some of the followers did reunite, as Wesley and Whitefield did, but often the breach that gets healed between leaders doesn't get healed between the followers. Well, what happened was this. After Whitefield's death, remember he died in 1770 and Wesley not until 1791. After Whitefield's death, a woman came up to Wesley. She was part of a band of godly women who were blessed by the ministries of both George Whitefield and John Wesley. And she said she had a question to ask Wesley, but she was very much afraid of what the answer would be. So Wesley encouraged her, and despite her fears, she asked, "Dear Mr. Wesley, do you expect to see dear Mr. Whitefield in heaven?" After a long pause, Wesley replied, "No, madam," causing the woman to explain, "Ah, I was afraid you'd say so." What? What? John Wesley said he's not going to see George Whitefield in heaven? What? I thought they reconciled. I thought they recognized these were doctrinal differences, but not differences to divide over in terms of salvation and the work of the gospel. What? You don't expect to see George Whitefield in heaven? What are you saying, John Wesley? Wesley then explained with intense earnestness, "Do not misunderstand me, madam. George Whitefield was so bright a star in the firmament of God's glory and will stand so near the throne that one like me, who am less than the least, will never catch a glimpse of him." Oh, what an answer. Whitefield be way too close to the throne for me to ever see him. That's why I'm not going to see him in heaven. You know, I read an account where when Wesley and Whitefield were live at the same time, that Whitefield was asked that question and gave the same answer. You know, that's the way we should honor those with whom we differ if we know them to be true believers. But the name-calling, the attacks, branding this one and that one, heretics. Oh, you know, in my book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, I've got a chapter where I mention some people who were charismatic leaders, including perhaps one of the most beloved Christian women of the 20th century. What? I didn't know? That one? I had no idea. Oh, you see, the body's a lot bigger than you realize.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I was really looking forward to radio today. I'm coming your way live from the WAVA studios, one of our great stations that blankets D.C. and goes well into Maryland and Virginia. And I'm in this neck of the woods for the next week, so broadcasting from their great studios through the week. And if you didn't hear, I got to do some sports broadcasting over the weekend. Yeah, our 9-year-old son, Connor, playing football. We came up to watch the game and just got this little booth behind the grandstand where the 9 and 10-year-old kids are playing. And got to call, we couldn't call the plays as they're happening, but I called the plays in the second half. Oh, yeah. It was just stunning. I mean, people were, no, I did have a lot of fun, though, but I'm not planning on leaving this broadcasting calling to take up sports broadcasting. 866-34-TRUTH. What did I say, Joey? And did I not say grandson? Come on, I got this staff. They're supposed to be cheering me on and holding my hands up. I said, son? Matt, did I say? I said, son. Grandson. If I had a 9-year-old son, that'd be interesting. Grandson. Thanks, Joey, for watching my back. Means a lot to me. I owe you one. Right. Grandson. Now, my other grandson, Andrew, just turned 10. Faced 9 batters in a playoff game Saturday and struck out 9. How do you like that? All right. I've been really looking forward to the broadcast today because I made the announcement last Thursday and Friday that I'm writing a book by God's leading, stirred to write it in the midst of an intense schedule, writing a book called Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. Dr. Craig Keener, some others are contributing with it. Ah, Matt Hurd, grandson. All right, tell you what, Joey, if you made me correct myself on national radio, the same thing happened Saturday. There was a fumble. I called the recovery the right way. The gal sitting next to me, the mom of one of the kids there, said it was the other way. I corrected it, and I was right the first time. So there we go. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to my announcement. Trying to do a quality radio show here and get all these guys weighing in with their opinions. It's challenging. Anyway, I've been writing this book now the last few days, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. The goal is to get it written in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then 2 to 3 weeks after that, published as an ebook. So that's an amazing time to turn it around, but what I felt burdened by the Lord to do. Well, the big news is that Charisma Media, which is putting the book out, let me know that through Excel Publishers, they can do a print-on-demand version for me. I can actually have a print version as well in the exact same time frame. So that means end of November, beginning December, we will have not just the ebook out, but the print book. And this book will really be of tremendous help of pushing us together, correcting error and pushing us together in the truth of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. I'll tell you in a little while how you can get and pre-order a signed copy of the print version. Before I go to the phones, I wrote an article last night, posted today, called Be Careful About What You Call a Different Gospel. That's the title on Charisma News. Christian Post has it under another title, as they always do a great job of getting the articles up as well. If you go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article, you'll be able to read this. And I mention in this article, in the last week, I've been criticized for failing to condemn Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar to hell. Well, on the other hand, I've been criticized for daring to take issue with their messages at all. Someone claimed that Pastor Bill Johnson was, quote, the biggest wolf ever. Well, on the other side of the spectrum, someone claimed that John MacArthur was guilty of blaspheming the Spirit. A Calvinist told me that Mike Bickle was a false teacher, while someone else asked me how a Calvinist like James White could even be saved. I witnessed one pastor being attacked for saying those who did not believe in divine healing were preaching a different gospel, while he in turn was condemned for preaching a different gospel. And then there were the lovely tweets like these: charismaticism is a cult of Satan, and cessationists who mock charismatics mock for the same reason why Elijah mocked false prophets, why Ezekiel called idols dung pellets. And I'll sit down with any of these people who differ and demonstrate by the word that they're wrong in their attacks, especially those that are going to throw out charismatic brothers and sisters is saved or deny the gifts and power of the Spirit. I'll sit down with anyone and just based on Scripture, forget your experience, good or bad. Forget if you levitated and your head hit the ceiling, if you never felt anything. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? What does Scripture say? That's what I base everything on. And if you hold to the fundamentals of the gospel, but you believe we should all read the King James Bible, and you think if a man has hair over his ears, it's a bad witness, and a man shouldn't wear jewelry, even a wedding ring, and that's what you hold to, all right? But you hold to the fundamentals of the gospel and have demonstrated a changed life in Jesus, well, you're my brother or sister despite those differences. Now, you may not consider me your brother or sister because I have a wedding ring on right now. And my hair is a little long. It's a little bit over my ears. And I don't read the King James Bible only. And if you damn me to hell over that, that's your error because you're going to have to get used to me in the world to come forever. So if I'm going to be with you forever, we can differ on these issues and we can discuss these issues in depth. But I'm not going to call you a heretic over them. And I'm not going to say you're preaching a different gospel that is just divisive and immature and wrong. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Joshua in Duluth, Minnesota. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, sir. I thoroughly enjoy all your stuff. And just want to make a point, and you've been making it, I think, indirectly the whole show, and even with the article that you sent out, I haven't read yet last night. But I think one of the biggest issues with at least in American Christianity and why these things surface is we don't know, churchgoers don't know what the gospel is. And if, in my limited experience, asking people, you know, what's the good news all about? What is the message of the kingdom or the good news of Jesus Christ? And there's no understanding. And the best that I've heard outside of someone that actually does study and pursue God and all of that is, well, you know, Christ died for us and he forgave our sins, which is part of the core and leaning in the right direction. But I just wanted to point that out, and maybe even this show or another show, you could just lay out, hey, these are the fundamental aspects of Orthodox Christianity. It's what we've always believed, and kind of drawing that line, making it clear.
So yeah, absolutely. And you're certainly right. Thanks also for the kind words, Josh. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. There's a fundamental ignorance of the gospel. There's a fundamental ignorance of what the fundamentals of the gospels are. The fundamentals of the gospel are, I'll get that right. In other words, what are the essentials? What must we believe? What must our practices be in order to be saved? What if your church fellowship has communion once a year in the context of the Passover, and you don't do it weekly, you don't do it monthly, you don't do it daily? Well, I say you're missing out. That just certainly doesn't damn you. What if you say the moment someone's born again, they're clearly born again, we have to baptize them. And someone else says, no, we need to catechize them. We need to teach them, make sure they're true disciples. And when we see the evidence of their faith and they're solid in the Lord, then we baptize them. Well, you have a difference over that. The New Testament practice seems to be clearly to baptize immediately upon clear conversion. But we can differ over that and still be saved. You can say, I believe that speaking in tongues is for every believer. You can say, I believe there's a subsequent act of salvation called the baptism of the Spirit, which is marked by speaking in tongues. You can say, oh, I don't believe what you're doing is speaking in tongues at all. That passed away with the apostles. And we can still be believers in the Lord. And we could still be one in Jesus. And when I'm in a prayer meeting, let's say I'm at a citywide prayer meeting with pastors and leaders together, and they're coming from all different groups. Well, I'm going to do my best to be as theologically in the middle in my praying. What do I mean? Well, am I going to be praying in tongues if others there don't believe it's for today or would be confused by it, even quietly if I'm next to one of these people because I don't want to do something that would distract that person? And if none of the people there are Messianic Jews in the room, then I'd probably pray more in Jesus' name and less in Yeshua's name, because I want them to say amen to that. And I'm not going to pray some prayer that's going to try to teach against Calvinism as I'm praying. And Lord, I ask you to save. Yes, you do the saving, but people have to cooperate with, and, you know, no. I'm not going to do that, because the goal is we're coming together across the city to stand for the gospel. We're coming together across the city to repent of our sins together, and on and on and on. At the same time, those that we teach and train within our school of ministry will teach them to be respectful to the whole body, but you better believe we're going to teach our distinctives. You better believe the things I write, I'm going to lay it out as clearly as possible. We come back, we'll talk about that. And Joshua, if you check my latest article, be careful about what you call a different gospel. I lay out what the fundamentals of the fundamentals are. We'll lay that out plainly.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, is that a right thing to do? What the rapper Shaylin was doing in his song there, calling out people by name as false teachers. Now, according to a New Testament definition, false teacher is a hellbound sinner. False teachers, 2 Peter 2:1, they introduce damnable heresies, and they themselves are not saved, or if they were saved, they've backslidden from the faith. Should we call others false teachers? Well, if you actually believe they are bringing damnable heresies into the body, and believing that will damn you to hell, then yes, it's correct. If it's simply a matter of differences, if it's simply a matter of differences over healing and prosperity, that salvation only comes through Jesus, that we all need to be saved from sin, that we're all going to physically die, that we may be persecuted in this world, but that God promises healing and financial provision. Well, we can differ over those things, but that's not going to be another gospel. If you say, come to Jesus, Jesus died to make you financially rich, come to Jesus to get rich, well, that's another gospel. That's a different gospel. It's not the gospel of salvation. And someone preaching that is a false teacher. But I say that we are much too quickly accusing others of being false teachers. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the Word of Faith message. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the dispute over Word of Faith doctrine, what some of the fundamentals of Word of Faith teaching are, what is simply error or difference within the body, and what would be considered heresy. We'll discuss it. 866-34-TRUTH. So as I wrote in my article, again, you can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. What I wrote there was simply this, in terms of the gospel. Namely, if someone recognizes that they're a lost sinner, if they put their trust in Jesus, the divine Son, as the only Savior and Lord, they believe that he died for their sins and rose from the dead, and they now live a new life of obedience to him according to God's word, they're saved, which makes them part of the same spiritual family. They are saved by faith, and the evidence of the new birth is a new life. If they don't hold to those fundamentals, if they say, well, I believe he's a good man and he set a great example for us by dying, no, that's not salvation. Well, I don't believe I'm lost, but I think Jesus can enhance my life. That's not salvation. Well, I mean, he was a great teacher, but he didn't rise from the dead. No, that's not salvation. Oh, yeah, I believe he died for my sins. And when I say I believe in him, I'm going to heaven. But no, I'm not living for him. I'm following him. No, that's not salvation. The only proof of the new birth is a new life, to quote revival scholar James Edwin Orr. So in light of that, we need to be very careful about whom we call a heretic or what we brand a different gospel. And when Paul addressed in Galatians 1, he wasn't speaking of differences that believers might have within the faith, whether or not you speak in tongues, whether you're Calvinist or Arminian, whether you accept or reject female pastors, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, whether you believe in divine healing or not. And on and on and on and on and on. just on the at each radio station, I'm on, I don't know, 250 or more, probably more radio stations across the country. On each radio station where I air, there are going to be people who differ with me and people I differ with. And among you listening, some of you are saying amen one show and say, that's the greatest show ever, Dr. Brown. Others saying, Mike, what are you talking about? That's the worst show ever. And we're all believers. And we're all believers. So let us stand where we need to stand, firm, undivided. Let us divide where we need to divide. And let us do our best to put forward the truth. Look, I will recognize different believers who differ with me as brothers and sisters in Jesus at the same time, firmly saying I differ with this doctrine, firmly saying I believe this is dangerous for the body, but I still recognize you're a believer, and other things are outside the realm of the faith. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Nathaniel in Boston. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, I need some advice, Dr. Brown, on a scenario. That my son is actually, he's the head of the ISDF leader at one particular group and a school, actually, and there is a leader who is very close to the GSA group. And, you know, he's spoken to them about their close contact and they should be careful in terms of their witness. But on one occasion, this same leader was sitting down in the lap of one of the GSA persons that attended a meeting. And my question to you is, do you address that issue or do you leave it alone?
So you say GSA, you're talking about Gay Straight Alliance?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would definitely address these things. If it's a matter of reaching out and saying, hey, I know you have a lot of thoughts about us as Christians and there may be misunderstanding and I'd love to sit and talk, reach out all you can. If it's a matter of, let's say kids were getting, a kid who said he was gay got beat up at school, and you say, hey, look, we're going to stand together with you and say that was wrong and demonstrate that you care about everyone. That's one thing.
Yeah.
When you enter into a type of a partnership where you compromise the gospel and say, hey, look, if we can recognize you can practice homosexuality and follow Jesus at the same time, that would be the danger. So you really have to find out the nature of the interaction, the purpose of it. We want to reach out to as many people as we can. Look, I'm friends with counter-missionary rabbis. They believe what I'm teaching is false and damnable. They believe that I'm an apostate and dangerous, and I believe what they're doing is dangerous in terms of drawing people away from Jesus, yet we recognize each other as fellow Jews and interact to try to convince each other, but also as fellow Jews and friends in that sense in the midst of our theological battle for the soul of our people. So that's what has to be determined, sir. What is the nature of the relationship? What's the purpose of it? And that would be something worth finding out.
Now, he has spoken to the leader. Now, the leader is a part of his group, part of the leader of the Christian Fellowship. And this particular leader is very friendly with the leader of the GSA, and they were sitting down actually in the lap of the leader. So, you know.
Yeah, well, if it's literally that case, then obviously there would be concerns. But what you have to do is, in a non-accusing way, sit down and say, okay, just explain to me the nature of this relationship. I have some real concerns. Please explain the nature of this relationship, the nature of the friendship. And then based on that, you have to see, is it a participation with darkness or is it something that can be used for gospel purposes? And I can only ask so much over the air in this setting because of not knowing details. But if you find out more and want to shoot us an email, we'll be glad to help as we can. So friends, you can pre-order the print copy. We just found out our ministry alone will have a print copy of the new book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. Won't be able to get it in any bookstore, online, anywhere. It's print on demand just for our ministry through a special arrangement with the publisher. Call or order your signed copy in advance, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. A couple of years ago, I was speaking at a conference for NARTH, which is the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. Michael Brown here, broadcasting live from the WAVA studios in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of D.C., where I'll be this entire week. Well, I was invited to speak, one of the keynote speakers at the NARTH Convention. Again, this is the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, when the American Psychiatric Association, followed by the American Psychological Association in the 70s, depathologized homosexuality and said that it is not a mental disorder, emotional disorder of any kind. Many of the leading psychiatrists and psychologists protested this. It was not based on scientific evidence as much as it was based on political pressure. In any case, ultimately a new organization was formed, and that new organization was called NARTH. And you can go to their website, north.com, for lots of good information. Well, I was asked to speak there, and then I saw that they were getting blasted. How dare you have Michael Brown speak there? He has no expertise in this area at all. He is not a psychiatrist. He is not a psychologist. How dare you have him? He's a right-wing extremist. He's this, he's that. And they were getting attacked for having me. Then I thought, wait a second. The same people blasting NARTH for having me speak blast me whenever I cite NARTH. When I would say, well, you'll see some good research on the NARTH website or so-and-so who's affiliated with NARTH has written this great article, I get blasted. How dare you quote NARTH? NARTH is a bunch of junk science. They don't know what they're talking about. They're disreputable and so on. So when I got up to speak, I shared that story, which got a good laugh from everyone. Here I'm getting condemned for associating with them, and then they're getting condemned for associating with me. You know what it tells you? Some people are just going to be critical, period. And let me tell you this. If I listen to everybody out there who has a problem with me being a friend with this person or that person or that person or that person, it'd just be me. Maybe Nancy, but some people don't like Nancy. But then people don't like me, so I couldn't even be a friend of me. It's ridiculous, the amount of name-calling divisiveness within the same spiritual family. Can we have differences? Yes. Can we feel that certain practices or teachings that exist among others within the body are dangerous? Yes. Should we do our best to understand what they are, address the people individually if we can, and address the errors publicly, if appropriate? Absolutely. And then the best thing we can do is major on the majors. God didn't call him to be God's policeman and every day find another extreme video clip of some speaker somewhere and blast this one and blast that one and blast that one. I'll do as I feel led to do, and I'll address issues which especially come to our listening audience on a large level. Absolutely. But we need to move beyond the divisiveness and the name-calling and branding different people heretics and damning to hell large portions of the body. My latest article, Be Careful What You Call a Different Gospel. You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org and clicking on latest article. Let me go to the phones. Charles in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I got to give you just a little bit of background before I can ask my question or it won't make sense. Back in the middle 70s, a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for a long part of his life, I happened to run into him about 10 years later, and he said, I said, well, you look different. He said, yeah, I found God. I said, well, I've been looking for God, and I was serious. And I just professed Christ to, prayed the sinner's prayer when I was 24 through a navigator Christian. And
well, right, Charles, stay right there. We come back. You can share the rest of that story and then get to your question. We'll be listening eagerly. Oh, I got a whole bunch of interesting issues to raise to you today. So what exactly is a different gospel and what is not?
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire broadcast today. We're following up on an article I wrote, posted this morning. Be careful about what you call a different gospel. I start the article by saying it's been said that heaven at one and the same time will be a great eye-opener and a great mouth-closer. You'll be surprised to see many people there, and many people will be surprised to see you there. How true this is. 866-34-TRUTH. I am personally grieved by the amount of name-calling, by the amount of divisiveness. You say, Mike Brown, what are you talking about? Man, you're totally divisive. Please hear me. I am addressing divisiveness and calling for dialogue and discussion and trying not to get believers to damn one another to hell over differences. Non-essential differences. We're not talking about differences we'd have, say, with Mormons or cult groups. By the way, next Tuesday, November 5th, special broadcast focusing on Mormonism. That should be a real eye-opener for all of you, our listeners. We are talking about within the body, as fellow believers, because your practice, your habit, your background, a doctrinal distinctive is different than mine, doesn't mean you're hell-bound or I'm not heaven-bound. It means that within the family, we have differences. And some of them are just cultural distinctives. I'm used to this way, you're used to that way. Some are doctrinal differences, but not sufficient enough to disqualify one or the other from being saved. 866-348-7884. All right, so back to you, Charles, in Atlanta. You had met someone, his life was changed, and said that he was found God. You were looking for God. So what happens next, and how does it tie in with your question?
Okay, what happened was he said, well, you know, if you want to find out, just come to this church, you know, and I did. And it was an Apostolic Holiness Church with some other names to it, but I forgot what they were. This was in 76. Anyway, I went there a couple of times, and they were, you know, really kind of trying to get into this thing of spiritual experience, what I would say. They'd run around the sanctuary, hold their arms up, and people would start becoming affected. That's all I can say. And anyway, I was watching this. I'd never seen this or heard of this before, so I didn't know what to think of it. But anyway, Dud said that his name was Dudley. He said, all you have to do is just get baptized and your whole life will change. Simple as that. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And
now, they didn't explain the rest of the gospel message to you, just that?
And that's it. And I said, I'll get baptized. And the preacher, I remember he had a judgmental, condemning spirit about him, but I didn't know about those things then. And and they baptized me in the name of Jesus Christ. And without any testimony from me, without whether I believed he was God manifest in the flesh or any classic biblical standard to determine whether you're a believer. And then after that, I came down to the middle of the floor there, and about 10 of them or so gathered around me and put their hands on me, spoke in tongues, and just for about 5 or 10 minutes, and nothing happened. I didn't feel anything, and I left. Well, about 3 days later, I went into the most severe clinical depression you could imagine. Mm. It almost killed me. I stayed in that condition for 5 years. I was a basket case. I was a college student at the time. And within 2 or 3 days after they baptized me, I couldn't even remember how to get to my classes. My mind became obsessed and taken over. I was just a basket case. And finally, the Lord led me to the Evangelical Institute in Greenville, South Carolina, founded by Brother Joe Carroll. Through some circumstances that he recognizes really of the Lord. So when I walked onto the campus, he walked right up to me because I was looking for him because I'd listened to one of his tapes and felt a conviction by hearing it that he might be able to have an answer. So he walked right up to me. I didn't know who he was. And he says, do you know you're severely demonized? And I said, no, I don't know what's wrong with me, but here's what the symptoms are. And he tried to help me, him and one of his teachers, Dan Johnson. But they couldn't deal with it. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, it's not whether it's tongues or glossolalia. It's discerning what spirit it's coming from. So how can you determine whether the tongues are being produced by the Holy Spirit or they're being produced by demonic counterfeit?
Right. My personal take on this is that it had nothing to do with the tongues and it had nothing to do with the church. It had to do with the fact that you unknowingly open yourself up to spiritual forces with no knowledge whatsoever, and the enemy came in and took advantage of it. In other words, I'm not going to say that people who believed in Jesus and claimed to be speaking in tongues and wanted to baptize you in Jesus' name were of the devil or the tongues were of the devil. I would say that what was of the devil was telling you to go through a religious ritual without hearing the gospel or knowing the gospel in any way, and that the enemy took advantage of that. In other words, you were...
Yeah, I did know the gospel, but they never asked me about that. And Brother Carroll told me, he said, how did this happen to you? And I told him, he said, I've seen this happen to people before, and the spirit that was operating there was not the Holy Spirit, or you wouldn't end up in the condition you're in. And basically, he's seen it happen before to other people in that time of, you know, the 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
all I can say is that, again, it's terrible that you passed through that, and I'm so glad that you came out the other side with a clear head and understanding, because I can't imagine what it would be like to struggle with that level of depression and demonization so many years and then not even understand fully the cause of it. But just a couple of things, okay? I know a lot of people that were in evangelical churches. I got a testimony from someone who was in John MacArthur's church, and they were under severe oppression and demonic attack, and they went to a charismatic church, and they got gloriously set free. I mean, I hear this stuff constantly, get all these anecdotal accounts of people who struggled with issues for years and years, and they were in an evangelical church for years and years and got worse, and then someone full of the Spirit prayed over them and practicing gifts of the Spirit and so on, and they were delivered and set free and have been on fire Christians since. So in other words, you can't make any generalization about the larger things based on the individual experience. In other words, I hear that and I say, okay, that's interesting, but I can't draw anything firm from it. So ultimately, what Paul tells us is this, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he deals with this very issue. So here's how he addresses it, because there were counterfeits. He addresses it based on the doctrine and the conduct that comes out of the life. In other words, he says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So in terms of the operation of a gift, if the operation of a gift is claiming to be a gift from the Spirit and denies that Jesus came in the flesh, 1 John 4, or denies that Jesus is Lord, or speaks some horrific thing against him, it's obviously not from above. Or if someone claims they've now been gifted in this particular way and their conduct goes crazy, someone says, man, Mike Brown, I was praying last night and suddenly I felt like this crazy thing come over me and I started speaking in tongues. And next thing I knew, I was supposed to strip my clothes off and run out on the street and start shouting in this new language and then start shooting the people who didn't agree. Well, obviously he got demonized. Whatever happened, the person got demonized or lost their mind. So we can judge based on the message that comes, or we can judge based on the conduct that follows. Or those with a gift of discernment can tell what's from above and what's from below. But we just have to be real careful with not making generalizations. Now, dear brother, it's possible these people were demonized. It's possible they were counterfeit believers and they were demonized and they laid hands on you and prayed over you and the demons in them attacked you and you became demonized. That's a possibility, but it says nothing about tongues in general or baptism in general. It just speaks about those people. The other thing is, a cautionary thing, don't just let any Tom, Dick, or Harry lay hands on you. I know sometimes in charismatic circles, there's a lot of laying on of hands. To me, it's too loosey-goosey. to me, it's too loosey-goosey. Let's be more careful about who we have lay hands on us. All right. Thanks for the call, Charles. So again, there can be the gift of discernment, whether we tell whether something is demonic or the Holy Spirit. There can be the test of the doctrine that's pronounced through the gift, and there can be the test of the conduct of the person as a result of the gift. Appreciate the call, and again, glad you came out whole on the other side. 866-348-7884. Again, tomorrow, at the request of many, we'll talk about Word of Faith issues. We'll talk about what is and what isn't the gospel in that specific context.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. You know what's interesting? When you meet someone and they love the Lord, they're an example to you, they are godly, they are so deep in the Word, you know, all the fellowship you have with that person is rich. And then you find out they belong to a particular denomination. What? Or they have a particular spiritual practice. What? Oh, I'm not talking about the difference between saved and unsaved. I'm just talking about something very different. 866-348-7884. I've shared this before, but let me share it again. My mom, 91 years old, is as sweet and loving a mother as you could ever imagine, totally affirming of me, her son, to this day. She was not a great cook, though. And one of my favorite meals that we had as a boy, I don't know, maybe once a week or once every couple of weeks, we'd get it was spaghetti and meatballs. I loved spaghetti and meatballs. Well, she used tomato soup for the sauce. Some of you have Italian background and cooking connoisseurs just kind of groaned. All the chefs out there groaned. But that's who I grew up with, and I really liked it. Well, I started traveling, preaching when I was 18, 19 years old, and drove to, I think it was Pennsylvania, to speak at Little Italian Pentecostal Church. I got saved in an Italian Pentecostal church, and now I was going to speak at this Little Italian Pentecostal church. And when I got there, ministered, and then great service, powerful service, the Lord really moved. I went to the pastor's house afterwards for a meal. We sat down together to have a meal. Oh, I was almost choked on the floor. Oh, gosh, I couldn't get it. I had to figure out how to, I'm talking about spaghetti. Spaghetti and meatballs, I almost choked on it. I had to figure out how do I swallow the spaghetti without chewing. And, well, what it was it was good, authentic Italian. In fact, I wish I could have that meal today. It was good, authentic Italian. I just didn't know it because I got trained on something different. What's my point? That different is not necessarily wrong. Different may actually be better. The issue may simply be I'm not used to it or I never tried this. One of my pastor friends said the seven last words of the church are we never did it like this before. Just because something's different, just because something's out of the ordinary test doesn't mean it's wrong. And the Word of God is our test. And again, the Word tells us to judge by doctrine and by conduct, not by a particular practice. In fact, maybe in your church, you know, you say, man, we're a Bible church. We're a Bible church. Well, if you're a Bible church, why don't you raise your hands in prayer and worship? Because the Bible tells us to. And why don't you dance before the Lord? Because we're exhorted to do that. Why don't you shout to God? Well, no, that's emotionalism. That's for those crazy charismatics. No, well, hang on. They're doing what's in the Bible and doing those things. We're a Bible church. Well, the Bible says don't forbid to speak in tongues. Why are you forbidding that? Now, your church may be 10 times better than the charismatic church down the block in 100 other areas, but in those areas, you should be more biblical. And yet, you know, we'll meet someone, fellowship with that person, find out they love the Lord. Say, wait, you use that translation of the Bible? Oh, it's a New Age version. That's dangerous. Even though you've got fine believing scholars that worked on that and then evaluated the manuscripts, we just have a difference over these things. I want to play a clip for you, and then I'll tell you why I'm playing it. Just listen to this.
50 years ago, a young preacher from rural Pennsylvania interrupted a high-profile murder trial in New York City. His mission was to share Jesus with the 7 indicted gang members. That encounter would change his life and the lives of thousands of others forever with the launch of Teen Challenge, a ministry that has helped thousands find freedom from the haunting grip of addiction.
Now, why did I play that? Well, there are some Christian leaders today who claim that nothing good has come out of the charismatic movement and no humanitarian good has come out of the charismatic movement. In my book, Authentic Fire, what I finished working on last night, in my book, Authentic Fire, the chapter, I didn't finish the book, I've just been writing a couple of days, but the chapter I basically finished last night, I list all of these Pentecostal charismatic theologians and philosophers, Christian philosophers and Bible scholars, and say, oh, so you're saying that they did not make a contribution to theology. And in particular, because of their background in the Lord, look at the contribution they made. And I mentioned some major people. I'll share more in the coming days, but you'd be surprised to find out some of them were charismatic Pentecostal because you've been reading them for years and loving their stuff for years. Or maybe on the flip side, you loved writings of Charles Spurgeon. Man, was it, wow, powerful. But somehow what you read didn't dawn on you that he was a real, real committed Calvinist. He was a real, real strong Calvinist. I mean, I'm not a Calvinist. Didn't Calvin say that some babies are doomed from the womb to certain destruction? Man, I don't believe that. Yeah, and C.S. Lewis was an Arminian. No, man, the only good theologians are Calvinists. C.S. Lewis, brilliant Christian thinker, one of the most influential of the 20th century, was an Arminian. Why did I play the Teen Challenge clip? Because Teen Challenge is birthed by David Wilkerson, and birthed specifically because of the moving of the Spirit on his life. And it is a ministry that is totally based on getting people in the Word and getting people discipled and getting people walking with God and full of the Spirit to set them free from their addictions. And it has an unbelievably high success rate when compared with government programs and others. And it's been used by God around the world to touch countless tens of thousands of hopeless addicts and alcoholics and delinquents of different kinds. And maybe you're on the other side and you find out one of the most powerful ministries in your city is a Baptist ministry that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. God's bigger. God's bigger. A different gospel is one that denies the fundamentals of the faith. Outside of that, we have our differences in house. All right. If you didn't hear the news, I am so stoked about this. As God stirred my heart to write the book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, a book that will be constructive, not destructive, and one that I think will be of tremendous help to many countless thousands in the body to grow in God and the truth of the gospel and the power of the Spirit. I pray that that is the case. We were going to get an ebook out because we felt to get it out so quickly. I just found out from our publisher that through a subdivision they have through Excel Publishing, that we can actually do a print-on-demand version. So only through our ministry. You won't be able to get this through bookstores, online, anything. It's specifically printed for us. That's the arrangement to get it out quickly. The same time the ebook comes out, God willing, end of November, early December, we can get the print copy out as well. I am so excited about that. To order your copy, I'll sign it just because we're so thrilled about getting this out. $25, postage paid, the Authentic Fire book. Pre-order it today and get as many copies as you want. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or right from our website, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. My bottom line today, if we would only be as zealous for the truth as we're sometimes zealous against error, we could change the world.